You're listening to Free Indeed Radio, the podcast from Free Indeed Ministries.
Free Indeed Radio is a place for all who struggle to reconcile same-sex attraction and a relationship with God. Our goal is not to condemn, shame, fear, or judge your life or lifestyle, but to bring same-sex attraction and sexual identity into spiritual light through the Word of Jesus Christ, while equipping you to love your neighbor and yourself. Love your neighbor and yourself.
I do not deserve to be called a son of God. I do not deserve even to have a shred of relationship with a perfect, righteous, and holy God. I don't deserve a single bit of that. And yet, He freely gives it to us.
And now, here are your hosts, Brandon and John.
Hello, welcome back to Free Indeed Radio. I'm Brandon.
And I'm John.
So, we have a really special episode planned for you today. And it's one that's been requested a couple times. And I'm pretty excited to get going on this because it's a big deal. And it's what we base our entire ministry off of. And it's what a life with Christ is all about.
Yeah, you're so right, Brandon. So what are we going to talk about?
We're talking about grace. Talking about grace and
versus works?
Well, just how grace versus works. I mean, that's probably what we're going to call it, but
sure.
Just how amazing grace really is, and how sucky works is, and what living in one versus the other or trying to mix the two looks like.
Yeah, I think that's a great topic. I think that, like you said, we come across this all the time because we speak about grace. We don't talk about what you have to do to perform or what somebody else has to do to perform to receive God's unmerited favor, which is what grace is. And I think people get that very confused. Quite often they do, because they think that we're always speaking about only the forgiveness that Christ has and not the fact that there is a life that is to be performed within that same grace. And then, of course, that takes you into works, which is means you're trying to perform for God, make God do for you. You're trying to merit His favor versus what grace is, which is His unmerited favor.
Yeah. And grace itself means unmerited favor.
Right.
Like, undeserved, as in you didn't do anything to deserve what is already being poured over you. So, and then you think about like the infinite, ever-loving God and how grace from a benevolent king is a big deal.
Right.
But then you have the God of the universe and how much more is His grace towards us. So before we get into that, I kind of want to talk about works and what the law mindset does and is, and just kind of unpack that a little bit more so that we have more of a standing and basis for understanding grace and the real depths of that. So, I don't know, just go through some of our own personal experiences with law-driven people.
Well, I think that something that we run into all the time is the need to change people. And we've talked about this in other podcasts, and we will continue to. When we make it to where we have to bring about a change in someone else, then we're works mentality. That is becoming sin conscious. When we're always worried about somebody else's sin or even our own, and we're trying to always receive forgiveness, and we're always trying to make it better, we're always trying to do something that Christ already did, that is trying to do life in a works mentality. Again, trying to get God to move because of what we do, not receiving what he's done and given to us so freely. That's right. What's so critical to hold on to. And Brandon, you know as well as I do that even though you say that, we receive that, but we have to practice that too. Every day, to make sure that when we're out talking to people, when we're doing these podcasts, that we don't slip into a place where we're trying to earn God's favor by what we're doing. We are blessed to be able to do this. We are given a task. We are given a word by God. He gave us free indeed. He gave us the message, and he told us to go. That's working for God. That's not doing a work trying to get God to reverse bless it, if you will.
So let's just take that into its own context. And let's take a specific example. Like, say I'm working somewhere. Like, I work just a regular job.
Right.
And in my head, I really want this promotion. You know, I'm working hard. I just really want this promotion and this pay raise because there's, I'm planning to get married or something like that. You know, sure. I have plans or desires in my heart that I want to see fulfilled.
Right.
So how do I explain that, or how do I look at that from obtaining that blessing, or how God looks at me from a grace perspective and from a works perspective? And we'll start with works, because everybody can relate to that, because it's a human disease.
Well, I think from a works perspective, obviously you're going to try everything you can to prove yourself to the one who's is the decision maker.
Well, right, and that would make sense because, you know, you want to impress your boss and you want to make sure that you show him that you deserve it.
Right, but you also will tend to do things that will try to make you stand out, that you will self-promote, that you will do over and above, or you will create things that you think have to be done to impress this person. And that's very much a works mentality toward God. We have to, people design things and religious ceremony, and even in their own, like you said, a daily walk at their job, they create more than was ever even thought of so that somebody will be impressed. So we do that to impress God. Versus seeing this promotion as something that God has gifted you with. This is a blessing that's coming along. Perhaps you've been praying about it for years, or now it's come, and now God has said that it's okay for you to pursue it. If he's given you permission to pursue this, then you already have an unmerited favor for the position to the one who's going to make the decision. Mm-hmm. Just like what Jesus did for us in forgiving us of our sins and giving us a place in front of the Father to where we can call him Abba or Daddy, where we can go to the throne room with, boldness, thank you. So we could do that. So that's the difference. That grace already puts us there. It's like, yeah, we have to go through this process of getting the job or getting that promotion. But if God said it and it's a blessing, then and you receive it, then you only do within it what God has given you to do for it and to thank him for it.
Pretty much just going through that that process of receiving it.
Exactly, the process of receiving it, whatever that looks like.
Works is I need to do for God. Mm-hmm. Works is I need to buckle down. I need to work for God, and I need to put everything out there, and I need to go whole hog because, you know, I need to do this for God.
Right. I need to start a ministry. I need to get into a Bible study. Mm-hmm. I need to go and do this. I need to go and do that.
I need to be good enough.
I need to be good enough. And that's not where God is at.
And grace itself is you are already there.
Right.
You are not good enough, but I make you good enough.
Because he is good enough. It's all in Christ standing with the Father, not ours.
Right. Well, because the thing that I find that people find the hardest to grasp is, well, and it's not even necessarily that it's the hardest thing to grasp. It's that it's so counterintuitive that people just have a trouble accepting it. And that is, when God looks at you, he doesn't see a broken, nasty, twisted life like the rest of humanity. When he looks at you, he sees the perfect, flawless life of Jesus.
Right.
And it's all over the Old Testament. I mean, you even look in the law about how Israel, when they were handed down the law, they were given all these rules and regulations on how to be cleansed, on how to be holy before God and how to have fellowship with him. And Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was the day when a lamb would be slaughtered after they put all, you know, they did the whole ritual of laying hands on the lamb and transferring the sins of the people into the perfect and spotless lamb. They had to have a perfect lamb. And then they would slaughter it. But, and it's so amazing because when you study the law and when you study how God laid out for them to have fellowship with him, mm-hmm. that's what it means when Jesus says, I fulfilled that. I fulfilled all of these rituals. I fulfilled all of this law so that you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have, it says that God didn't take pleasure in the blood of bulls and goats. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Jesus' sacrifice was the perfect, all-encompassing sacrifice that would give you complete, no-holds-barred VIP access to God and his blessings and his mercy and his grace all the time, no matter what.
No more needing to be justified under the law is what you're saying.
Right.
So it was done. All of that little stuff is done. We don't have to keep 1,000 or more, whatever it is, rules and regulations. Of course, those were given to the Jews anyway. But the thing is that religion wants to bring up their own laws, wants to make laws and rules, which makes works. It's exactly what it is. And like you said, the perfection that is in Christ, the perfection of what he did on the cross and the fact that he rose again and he sits at the right hand of the Father, that is who we are. That is what grace is. That is grace 1,000 times. And the Bible makes it clear that we are not to mix works and grace or law and grace because it makes it of no effect. That's like taking hot water and ice water, mixing them. It becomes lukewarm, and as we know in the Bible, God says he spits
Revelation.
The lukewarm out of his mouth, right? So we don't want to go there. We want to stay hot for God, which is in the grace of what Jesus did. That is the life and the truth that we live in today. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to perform in that we don't have to make things up. We don't have to create performance things for God, pleasing things, so that he will give us grace.
Well, yeah, because the minute you start working for grace, it's no longer grace.
Indeed.
That's why Paul says, you know, if salvation is through the law, then it's no longer from grace.
Right.
You know, and Jesus Christ died for nothing. If we even could be justified by the law, then Jesus died for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, well, why would he even come? Why bother?
And specifically what I mean by the law is, like, the Ten Commandments. Because, you know, God obey the Ten Commandments. Well, in James, when it's talking about, you know, those who follow after God, or no, John, if you love me, no, it's not John. But if you love me, you'll obey my commandments.
Right.
It's not if you obey my commandments, then you're proving that you love me. It's saying if you love me, if you let my love flow through you, if you abide in my love, that word abide is very, very special. It's just if you are in constant contact with and allowing it to flow through you. He likens it to, John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches.
Right.
If you abide in me, you will produce fruit. If you abide in my love, and that word abide is just to draw from. If you sit at the feet of Christ and just draw from him, you know, if you recognize how useless you as a person are to produce fruit, namely the fruit of the Spirit, you know, peace, love, joy, right, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all that. If you quit trying to produce that and allow Christ's power and his love to produce that through you, then you are in grace. Then you are living by grace. And you are no longer living by works.
Exactly. And you know what comes to mind, Brandon, is a branch doesn't have to try to be a branch. It just is.
Right. It's just a branch. And God is happy to let that branch just be a branch. I was watching a movie this last weekend with one of my friends. And it was this new movie that came out, Mom's Night Out. And it's about this woman who's just so stressed over her life and about not being good enough. And she is I'm going to try not to spoil it, but she is just on Pinterest. And towards the beginning of the movie, her husband comes home and finds her in a closet, just hunkered down, all kinds of stress whacked out, and watching this video of this eagle caring for its babies. And it's just, you know, a camera that's set up on a tree over an eagle's nest, and it's like a 24-hour live feed thing. And towards the end, she is talking to this other guy about that, and finally comes up, the eagle is just so at peace. Just so happy with its life. And the point that arose out of that was that eagle was made to be an eagle, and it is content to be an eagle.
Right.
We are human beings made to be human beings. We, right now, we are flawed. We are imperfect. We struggle with identity, we struggle with image, we struggle with things that we want to get done, goals, aspirations, all of that. We struggle to achieve them, especially in this Western culture. But struggling to be better and struggling to obtain this, picturesque view of how we should be. And I am preaching to myself because I deal with this all the time.
Right.
It's such a problematic thing because if an eagle is striving to be an eagle, then it is striving for no purpose. And it is just driving itself nuts. When you realize that God is content with you, is more than content. He is perfectly pleased in you because of Jesus. Then you are free to quit trying to please God. You're free to quit ripping your hair out, figuring, why do I keep screwing? Why do I keep going back to porn? Why do I keep going back to gambling? Why do I keep going back to alcohol? Why, you know, and God, I'm so sorry. Please don't, you know,
don't hate me.
Don't hate me. Don't wreck my life. Don't hurt me. Because as Paul says, we are more than conquerors. We have already conquered that in Christ. When you realize that you are already in God's grace, when you are already blessed, when you are already there, and just receive it instead of trying to reach it.
Right. It's a gift.
That is the gift. That is the life. That is the freedom that Christ talks about.
Grace is a free gift of God given to us through Christ. And I think that your example is really good, and I know that we all have the desire to get closer to God, or the want, whether we realize it or not.
Right.
And therefore, like you were saying, we try to achieve God. And that is a works mentality, like you're talking about. The continuous self demanding perfection, mm-hmm. that causes you to create things that you do, that you put your hands to, that you will go out and try to make everything right by just doing something else that's more right than the wrong you did.
Right.
That's so sad. And that's what Jesus died for. That's what he tells us through this love letter of the Bible, that we don't have to do. That if we just were to get on our knees and stay still before him, that we are in a greater place than we'll ever be by trying to go out and make him happy and prove something to him that we can't do.
Yeah.
And I think both of our lives are show that. We both admit that readily, you know. That's why it's taken years to get to the place that we are in Christ, at least for me. And because I'm older, and so that's okay. But that's what God's good at. You know, he's not bored with me. He doesn't have a problem with saying, okay. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a problem hearing me call upon him over and over again about the same thing. But he does have the strength and the power to change those things. And then if I listen, it's not a matter of just calling upon it and then, oh, it's going to happen. It's a matter of calling upon him for it and knowing that the gift of grace is with you, and that empowers you to walk through those things, to mm-hmm. have that escape, and to not have to return to those places.
I've told you about this, but I was in a relationship for a while that for 2 years almost. I woke up in panic attacks because, and I'm talking like full on paralyzing, fearful, just stricken, unable to think, only able to just scream in my heart, in my mind, just God, take this fear away. And what it was is just it goes into my whole testimony and thought process at that time on how God saw me.
Right.
Which, I mean, is just the epitome of works, because I'm struggling purity wise in this relationship. And every time I would screw up, which was often, I would wake up the next day paralyzed with fear that God was disappointed in me and ashamed of me and upset with me. He still loved me, but he wasn't very proud of me.
And what did that cause you to do?
It caused me to go absolutely insane and to just try and go overboard in the rest of my life to make up for it.
And I think a lot of us do that.
Yeah, and it's an insanely exhausting process.
Yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? I was running myself ragged trying to just to make up for what I was doing. You know, I understood that God forgave me, but I felt that I had to be upset for a certain amount of time. You know, almost as like a weird kind of emotional penance, and that if I wasn't upset by it, then you know, my conscience was seared and I was in an even worse spot.
Right.
So eventually I just quit trying. I quit trying to maintain the purity. And I mean, trying to maintain purity in an already impure immoral relationship is just kind of silly.
Yeah.
But
you're over the waterfall and you're trying to swim back up it. You're not going to get very far.
Right. And I understood that I understand God is a God of restoration and a God of, you know, redemption and all that. But I really believed that he would change me. That he would take away my desire and that he would strengthen me to make it he would give me the strength to deal with temptation. That he would give me the strength
There's
to deal with
key.
Temptation.
Right.
And that is the key. Is as soon as it becomes about me being strong enough, that's where it fails. As soon as it becomes about me becoming good enough, mm-hmm. me attaining something, instead of, like Paul says, you are already full. You are already complete in Christ. You are already whole.
Right.
You know, that's a thing about grace that is so hard to it's easy to understand. Grace is an easy thing to understand. It is difficult to accept.
Indeed, and very difficult to live in until you've practiced it enough.
Right.
Because in your situation, God moved you along in that, but you stayed under the power of the panic mm-hmm. until you really understood what grace really meant and how to let that go and how grace heals that and moves you into a place where you know your position in God. Your standing in God is righteous. And when you really start to know that and live in that, then those things of the past lose their power and their mm-hmm. grip over you because you're not working to make them go away. Mm-hmm. You don't have to shovel that grave in. It's empty. It's gone. That's grace.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes, I can't remember if I heard it somewhere else or if I came up with it, but I was sitting,
go ahead and take it.
I was sitting in work one day and it just kind of hit me. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I deserve hell and separation from God and judgment and chastisement and all that.
Right.
Wrath. It's what
we
I deserve.
All do. Yeah.
It's what everyone deserves. What I do not deserve is what's described in, I think it's 1 John. It's what love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called his children. I do not deserve to be called a son of God. I do not deserve even to have a shred of relationship with a perfect, righteous, and holy God. I don't deserve a single bit of that. And yet, he freely gives it to us. My little children, fear not. The kingdom is a gift that the Father gladly gives. And that is the real gift is getting to know Jesus and letting Jesus be the pathway to knowing Yahweh as our intimate Abba Daddy.
Right.
That is ultimate grace. And then even a step further, what the only way that was going to happen is if God died.
Right.
Because Jesus was God in the flesh. And the only way that we were going to be able to have that relationship with him is if he died. God would rather die than be without you. And he did, so he never would have to.
And of course, the best part, he rose again, proving he indeed again. Is God, right?
Right.
And then the ability to, or the right to give us his righteousness, to put us in his place. Mm-hmm. So again, works, trying to strive for that, trying to make that happen, trying to earn that, trying to do something and say, look at me, God, now give me this. Look at another person trying to match up with their life. It's all ridiculous. It doesn't work.
Right.
Right? Works don't work. Mm-hmm. Grace works. So when you're thinking about this and you're wondering what to do next, don't do anything until God moves and tells you to do that. Don't do anything. Don't say the wrong thing to a person that you're trying to tell about Christ. Don't go out and try to prove that you're doing more for God and that somehow your standing is better than someone else's, mm-hmm. because that's not where it's at. That's works. Let grace come alive in you. Let it overflow you, and let that flow out to somebody that you don't agree with. Let that flow out to the person that you find offensive. Show them this grace that Christ showed for you, because while you are offensive, he died for you.
Yeah, that's Romans 5. While we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, he took it upon himself to enter time and space and die for us so that he could have fellowship with us.
Right.
What a beautiful God. So that we could have fellowship with him.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so big. And I remember one thing that you told me last summer was I was kind of spinning out. I'm just like, I just wish I could understand grace more. I wish I had a greater capacity to understand what was going on around me. I wish I could just understand grace, God's grace in its fullest. And you look at me, pick up the coffee mug that was in front of you, and you said, This is your capacity for being able to understand grace in a day. Now go drain the ocean.
Right.
And just, that was such an exciting notion that I could just taste my dose of grace for the day. And just live in that and learn about it, because we're going to be learning about it for the rest of eternity.
True.
But we can live in the freedom to quit trying so stinking hard. I still need to lay that down every day.
Me too, Brandon. You're not alone there. And to remember that there's plenty of grace. You know, each of us has a cup and we're trying to empty the ocean. You never will. You'll never exhaust his grace.
Right. Grace doesn't have an end. You cannot out-sin grace.
Hey, oh, that is beautiful, because that's so true. And that's what I think people really do forget, that they think they're out-sinning the grace that Christ has for us, and you can't.
Right.
You can't. He died for it all, once for all. That means it's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Let's keep laying it down, huh, brother?
Yeah, let's keep laying it down. Even though it's hard and we fail, God has grace enough to forgive that.
That's right. He's got you covered. Mm-hmm. He's with you. So let grace arise. Let Christ arise. Let you be minimized. Think of it that way. Lord, you be first. Let me be last. And see how that works for you. Because doing it the other way, as you can see in the world today, in the church today, it hasn't worked. Because we put ourselves first, made all these works and religious ways of making everybody else right, or them wrong and us right, and God has become second or third or last place. So let's turn that around.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. And why don't you go out today and change somebody else's mind about God?
Thank you for listening to Free Indeed Radio. Send us your prayer requests, comments, and suggestions to freeindeedco@gmail.com. We would love to hear how the Lord has touched your life and rejoice with you. Don't forget to sign up to follow us by email on the website and get our app from the Google Play Store. Free Indeed is listener-supported, and we invite you to come check out how you can support us through our website at www.freeindeedco.com. Free Indeed Ministries believes that your tithes belong to your local church, and we receive your donations as offerings to support the mission of Free Indeed to advance the gospel of grace throughout the world. The Lord bless you as you go into your world and change someone else's mind about God.